Come ahead, brother.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you.
Bless you, too.
I am very thankful and happy to be with you here at Mountain Home Church. It has been a desire of mine to come and visit you for many years. I have known Brother and Sister Sarber for a very long time. They're among the dearest friends that I have in life. And when they came out here and I heard them talk about this place, I knew this had to be a good place to go. So I knew that if the Lord would, that I will come. But I was about to get to the point where I was about to make my own appointment out here because I did not get any calls or invitations. And then I heard that you had my little brother out here, and I just didn't understand that. We talk to ourselves and we draw ourselves up from bitter disappointment and we learn to live with it. And just when I thought that they have aught against me, that Brother Carey gave me a call. Probably called me at the very worst possible time, but that's why I didn't answer your call. But we got back and now we are here. Now getting here was a blessing, but that's the point, is that we're here to worship the Lord, and all the desire to come now is secondary to the most important thing, and that is the service of worship and praise to our Lord and to give Him thanks for what He has done. And for me to have any liberty, it has to come from the Lord. And I encourage you to keep on praying that that would be the case. Brother Bruce asked me what I had on my mind. And I told him about four or five different subjects. He then told me to not preach on all of them at the same time. Well, I may preach on none of them if the Lord doesn't bless. But I would like to go into the book of Acts, into the 16th chapter, and begin reading to you in verse 5. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now I read that to you to establish what the situation is, and it is good. The churches are being blessed. The truth is being preached. Now, for that to happen, the Spirit of the Lord is obviously blessing, and the people are being receptive to the Spirit, and great blessings are happening now amongst the churches. And, you know, it gets dangerous for us sometimes when things are going well in the church, and that we began to think that we've finally got it all figured out. And we find out that we don't. It is also dangerous when things are not going well, because then we tend to say, well, it must be our fault that such things are happening. And the thing is, it's of the Lord, whether it's blessed or not. And we do pray that His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I believe if we're doing something wrong, the Lord will tell us about it. My parents disciplined me oftentimes, but they always told me what I did wrong. And the Lord is a better parent than any of us. And it may be of His will. It may be circumstances. So we just need to be trusting in the Lord and all things no matter what season it is. It is a good season for the church. Wouldn't that be wonderful if it was like that all the time? It was spring and harvest time, and we're baptizing people, and the house is full, and people actually come to church, join the church, and actually stay in the church. What a concept that must be. You know, to baptize somebody and they actually stay. But we are living in strange times. And that's, I'm afraid that we're going, I don't want to have to get used to it, but I need to understand that I believe we're living in these last days, and we are going to see things like that. If it were springtime all the year, we wouldn't appreciate it like we should, and we would probably begin to take credit for it. Yeah. And so we churches go through seasons. Our faith goes through seasons. Preachers go through seasons. And sometimes the church goes through seasons along with the preacher. And God is in control. And so the Lord right here is blessing the churches. That doesn't mean that if the Lord is blessing the church, then everything we're doing is right and anything that we want to do is right. It has to be of the Lord. Now I say all that to frame the next scripture in verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That is one of the most interesting scriptures in the word of the Lord to me. First of all, it proves this. God is not an Arminian. That proves that right there. How does that prove that, Brother Dave? Well, if the gospel saves people to heaven, then the Lord just condemned a lot of folks to hell, because here's a preacher willing to go and preach to people and the Spirit forbid him to do it.
Right.
All right? So the Lord doesn't need the gospel to get folks into heaven.
Right.
Okay. It also proves God's not a Calvinist.
Right. That's right.
I'll explain that to you if you're interested. I am. I find it very interesting. If God was a Calvinist, then we have to conclude that there were no elect people at all in Asia.
That's right.
At all, period. Asia is a big place, right? You ever seen it on a map? So if God is a Calvinist, then there is absolutely no elect people, period.
Right.
Because all the elect will hear and believe the gospel according to the Calvinist doctrine. So God's not an Arminian. God's not a Calvinist. Sounds like he must be a primitive Baptist.
Amen.
I think I'm going to say that. I'm going to say that. Don't you think you're being a bit prideful? No. I'm just thanking the Lord. Right? All right. So we all want the Lord to bless us. We want the Lord to direct us in our ministry, in the church, in our families, etc. So that means that sometimes the Lord is going to say no to us. God really does say no.
Yeah.
Oh, he does. Did you know that? God loves you enough to tell you no. Now, we think prayer is a blank check. We pray and we get it. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work. Or we got good intentions here. We have good intentions. We really want the church to be blessed. We really want the church to be blessed. We pray for the church to be blessed. And we do everything we can, and then we get mad at God when it doesn't happen, or when negative things happen. And no, we shouldn't get mad at God. It's just a thing called life. Jesus himself said, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Whoa. Be of good cheer. Why? For I've overcome the world. So, the Lord could have forbidden me to come here if it was his will. The Lord could not bless me to preach if that is his will.
Right.
the Lord can withhold his spirit from all of us in this meeting if that is his will. And we pray that he will abide with us. But when it comes down to it, that's up to the Lord. Now this is Paul and brethren, Paul and Silas, Luke, maybe possibly Timothy. Here's an apostle. I want to go to Asia and preach the gospel. And the Spirit of the Lord said no. What do you do when the Spirit of the Lord says no? Well, you don't go. Then what do? Well, you try something else. Human nature. We're going to try something. Well, if not Asia, let's try somewhere else. So, the next verse. And after, verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. That word suffered there means allowed. The Spirit denied their visa to go to Bithynia. Now, I don't know how that happened, but it happened. It could have happened in a myriad of ways, but it happened. There will be churches in these places. There may have been churches already. I don't know. But there will be, because I know Paul and Peter wrote to them. But the Lord had another direction. They were going the wrong direction. They were going east. They were going south. The Lord wanted them to go west. So what happens? You've tried it twice. What do you do? You know the hardest thing to do? You know what the hardest thing it is for me to do? Is to do absolutely nothing.
Right.
I got to be doing something. Right? Do you know that when Moses and the Israelites were leaving Egypt and they came to the Red Sea, do you know that Moses told them the absolute worst thing he could have told them? Stand still. Are you crazy? The Egyptians are coming. Stand still. No. Yes, you are. Stand still. Oh, and see what? The salvation of the Lord. You want to see the salvation of the Lord? Need to stand still. Right? And they did, didn't they? So they're going to stand still. They're going to stand still. I love there's a scripture that says, and Jesus stood still. There's a good sermon in there somewhere. But I like that expression. Jesus stood still. So they go to a place called Troas, which is modern day Troy. They go to Troy. It's at night. And Paul has a vision. Paul has a vision. This is found in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There's the direction. West. You need to go west. Go to Europe. They're not Asia. Europe. Now, this tells us that God is in control of the gospel and of the preaching of the gospel and the direction of the gospel or of his spirit. This also tells us what the gospel does. It helps us. The gospel doesn't save us eternally, but it helps us. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
I'd say that.
Yeah.
Best news I've ever heard is the gospel.
Yes.
Right? Best news. Best news I ever heard. Best news. It's when Jesus said, I love you. It's when you knew that. When you knew that the Lord loves you. You probably found out at the same time you're a wretched, no good, bankrupt sinner. You probably found that out. If you don't know that, then the gospel doesn't mean anything to you. The gospel says this is what got you out of that situation. Now, I've noticed that a lot of the songs we sang this morning was about heaven. And I've thought about folks who are thinking about heaven today. Well, that's good. That's a good, I can't think of a better subject than heaven. How do you get to heaven? How did you get to heaven? By the grace of God, right? By the blood of Christ. Right. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how you get it. You did not do anything to get into heaven.
That's right.
Right? Belief of the gospel is what told you how you got get into heaven.
Right.
The gospel doesn't get you into heaven. But it tells you how you got there. You know, we'll believe the gospel in heaven. You ever think about that? Everybody's going to believe the same thing in heaven. Isn't that? That's why there's not going to be any need of preaching.
Yeah.
I've had children say, that's what makes it heaven to me. There's no preaching up there. Amen. 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 There's no preaching. There's no preaching in heaven. And that's the what I also call, that's the great irony. Great irony, because just when I'll be able to figure it all out and preach the way it ought to, everybody else knows it anyway. Be saying, hey, I know who, I can tell you all about Melchizedek. They say, oh, I just saw him. It's a great irony in heaven. That's going to be all right. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be satisfied. Right, so come over to Macedonia and help us. How are you going to help us? How are you going to help us? You're going to preach the gospel. Come over to Macedonia. You want to preach the gospel, we're telling you where to go. So they go. All right, now, a lot of times we get direction, how the Lord directs us. And we feel that the Lord is involved in things, and yet it doesn't unravel or it doesn't come out all at one time. And that is frustrating for me because I don't like people saying, well, that's a need-to-know basis. Well, I need to know right now. Right now is the time to tell me. Don't. Well, I won't tell you now. Yes, you are. You are going to tell me now. And I'll bug you until you do. Now, but the Lord says, fine, David, you can bug me all you want. My will be done when I desire to do it. And so, a lot of times, it is a trial of faith.
Right.
It's not a trial to get faith, it's a trial of the faith you have.
Right.
And that doesn't give you more faith, but it makes you rely upon your faith better.
Right.
And that's called stronger faith.
Right.
But you don't get any more faith.
Right.
Right. You don't need any more. Because you're saying God didn't give you enough in the first place?
No,
He gave you all you needed and all you'll ever need. We are the ones who need work. And so when Paul and Silas and the brethren get to, they get to a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's a new city. It's a new colony. It's a Roman city and it's in Europe. And they go there and they get to a place. They probably find an inn. They stay there and nothing happens. That's how the Lord works.
Yeah.
Nothing happens. Come over to Macedonia and help us. We're here. Here's the thing. The Lord does not mind waiting. Now, let me qualify that. Because primitive Baptists don't like to hear that, and I don't blame them. God is not waiting for us to accept it. God is waiting for the last child of God to be safely brought into the ark of Christ, be born again, and all that. God waited for the, speaking of arks, God waited for the ark to prepare, to be prepared, until He shut them in, until the judgment. God made time. Time is a creation of God. And God uses time to execute His will. Now, the Lord, I can prove this by just reading the scripture, I think. Paul got there too early. It's okay that he got there too early, but there was something that needed to happen. And so God, in His providence and His omnipotence, engineered and arranged and caused to transpire. This is not absolute predestination, by the way. This is the providence of God.
Right.
Don't call this predestination. This is providence. God arranged, engineered everything for Paul to be there and for Paul to be at a particular place at a particular time to talk to a particular woman. God knew all this. Now, God still knows everything. And that's why we ought to rely and trust God.
Right.
Don't trust yourself. Trust the Lord. You have a tendency to be wrong. God does not have that tendency.
That's
not even once or twice.
That's right.
God's never once been wrong.
Right.
Amen. Right. Now, God is come over. He sent the vision. They're there. And they walk up and down the city for 3 days and three days. They're there 3 days. And then we read this. Then we read this. I love this. In verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. This is why they're supposed to be there. And there's one person among these women, we know for sure that God desired, and I don't like to say that either, that God designed, God purposed for the Apostle Paul to talk about the Lord and preach the gospel to these people. They're gathered by the river. They're praying. They come up to him. Paul begins to speak. And Paul obviously talks about the gospel. And then one of my favorite scriptures, and one of the most important scriptures, verse 14, he says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Get this, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. This is not Lydia being born again.
No.
This is Lydia being converted.
Amen.
Another way you can call conversion is the Lord opens your heart.
Amen.
You got the heart. You got that heart in regeneration.
Right.
That's the heart of flesh that you can feel. And is receptive to the Spirit of God. And you're saved right then. When you're born again, you're saved. You don't need any more saving after that.
That's right.
You know, you're going to heaven. However, you want heaven on earth, what we call time salvation. You need to hear the gospel. But to hear the gospel, you've got to have a heart.
Right.
And to believe it, the Lord, not the preacher, not you, the Lord opens your heart. Now, do you believe? I believe the gospel. I believe that I believe the gospel. Right? I really do. I really believe that I believe it. And I really believe it. I believe the gospel more than I believe anything else. It's the gospel is gospel. And I love it. Can't get enough of it. And you know what that tells me? I know me. I'm not that smart to figure all this out. I dropped classes in college because they were too hard. Children, don't do the things that I have done. I dropped one class. They said, we are going to diagram sentences in this class. I'm out. Bye. Bye. Not going to do it. Don't do the things I've done. But I could tell you. I could tell you when, what hour, where I was. I can take you to the place, show you where I was sitting, where I heard the gospel for the first time. I was raised in the Primitive Baptist Church. My father and grandfather and great-grandfather were all ministers. We went to church a lot. You had to when your dad is a preacher. I had to go to church all the time. We did not take vacations for vacation's sake. We went to places on vacation because they were having a meeting there. I got so tired of going to church, and they did not care. They did not listen. And I do not feel sorry for young people who gripe about going to church, because I had it worse than they did. I had a terrible, horrible childhood because I had to go to church. And I had to respect the church. And we went. I've got a million of these stories that I can share with you all weekend. Brother Bruce asked me, he said, somebody asked me recently, what do you do when you can't preach? I just tell stories. But hopefully I'm preaching, but this is in the context of the sermon. Now I forgot what I was going to say. I got it. You know, we went to a church, it was a Primitive Baptist church, and when they had communion and feet washing, the parents let the non-member children go out and play. Not my mother. They're out there playing softball, baseball, doing stuff. You boys sit right there and you behave yourself. You will watch and you will learn. What a terrible, terrible life. But it's the best life I've ever could have wanted. I call them blessed. Now the thing is, you don't listen to their gripes or their cries, because nobody can gripe better than me. And my mother didn't listen. I can out-gripe anybody in this building. We could have a gripe contest and I'll win. I'll beat you. But you know what happened? You know what the thing is? Is that I now have memories of services going way back before I joined the church that I would not have had if they had not enforced that policy. Now, so I said all that just to say this. I heard a lot of preaching in all my years, but I didn't get it until I was 15. I heard sermons, but I never listened. God opened my heart, and I understood, and I fell in love with my Lord Jesus Christ. That was a wonderful thing that happened, and God did that to you. God thought enough of you to open your heart to the greatest truth ever in the world. How can we think God doesn't love us? How can we think God doesn't answer prayer? God has nothing for us. You know the best thing in the world. You're part of the best thing in the world, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are able to do the greatest thing anyone can do right now, and that is be in the service of God. David said, this is the joy of the whole earth.
Right.
So this is the best place in the world to be right now. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. And she, we read, verse 15, and when she was baptized, wow, didn't take long, did it? At her household, look at that! She besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, another sermon I want to preach one of these days, if I ever get enough courage, is I call it the constraining women of the Bible, because this word constrained is only used in regard to sisters. And I think, I don't know why, if there is something there to it or not, but having grown up in the old Baptist church and going to a lot of people's houses, and me and my brothers, we knew which houses were A-list and what was B-list and C-list. And we knew the A-list meetings and the B-list meetings, and they're all ranked according to the food that they served and the quantity of the food that they served. And this, there may have been a tremendously spiritual blessed church, but they were on the D-list because they served nothing but vegetables, and you know that's just not going to happen. And so we knew that we're going to go to these people's house because that sister likes to cook, and she cooks all the time, and she's one of those sisters that when your plate is empty, she'll dish food on your plate. And she's also this one of the sisters that when you go to her church, and she makes sure you get what she brought that day, and if you didn't, she'll bring it to you. And you know, though, and then you know, sometimes she'll send it home with you. And those are the constrained women. The word constrained is an interesting word. It means to force someone to get something. To restrain is to force someone to be denied something. So that's the difference. So what this is telling us about Lydia and about the Shunammite woman who constrained Elijah is that they forced these brethren to get her hospitality. That's constraint. Now, that's how we all ought to be.
Right.
We ought to be that way. We all ought to be that way. And we ought to be welcoming. And you know, sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone. And, you know what I have to do as a preacher? I have to sit down and talk to people that I don't even know. And that's not easy sometimes. Some of you are kind of scary. And you think, well, I'm intimidated by preachers. You don't know this. They're intimidated by you. And so, you know, when folks come up and shake your hand, it makes you feel good. Heart warms you. And that's just, you know, things we can do. I'm not saying y'all haven't done it. I'm just saying that's, I like it when it happens. So now everybody's going to be lined up to talk to me. That's fine. But let me just tell you this, and it's getting time to wind this down. My father was not raised in the Primitive Baptist. He was he's actually literally a New York Yankee. And don't hold that against me, but he is literally from New York City. And married my mother, who was an East Texas dairyman's daughter and a Primitive Baptist preacher's daughter, and did not understand a lot about the Primitive Baptist church, but the one thing that hooked him and got him is that everybody was so loving and friendly. And that's what made him stop and look and consider. And it is a wonderful thing when you go to a church for the first time and you feel at home. And there's no, how do you explain that to people? I will say this to you, I feel at home here at Mountain Home. And I'm not, if I didn't feel at home, I wouldn't say anything. The fact that I said it, God bless you too. Now, if you would come see me in Texas, if it's just as far down there, I would try to do the same to you. And we would be blessed in that exchange. That's called fellowship. It's called communion. It's called love. It's called charity. It's called being brother and sister in Christ. And Lydia said, if you live, come and stay in my house, if you found me faithful. And she constrained them. You have to. You can't. You don't have any choice. You're going to be with me. And that is where the church at Philippi began.
and her house.
You know, everybody has favorite scriptures, right? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. My favorite scriptures change from time to time. But one of my favorites is found in the book of Philippians. It's when Paul writes a letter to this church that began in Lydia, actually began on that river, by that river. But I get the idea that they met at her house and it sprung and it became this church that when Paul, years later, was in jail for preaching the gospel, they sent Paul a, for lack of a better term, a care package. And that's why Paul wrote the book of Philippians, is a thank you letter for their service to him. And he says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I love that.
Yeah.
And I have had that feeling toward people. And this is the beginning of it. Now, there's more to be said, and if the Lord would bless, perhaps this afternoon, we trust the Spirit of the Lord very much. Thank you all for your kind attention, and may God richly bless you. And dear Brother Kerry, come ahead and close out whatever you desire to do.
God bless you. Appreciate what you had to say.